I feel like this happens every year. People just get fixated on a rookie running back that's not in a good situation and just hype them up to shit. It's like, just kind of sit back and relax.
You're listening to Let's Talk Fantasy Football, where men of fantasy genius have realized,
hey guys, we don't need real football skills to dominate on the fantasy field. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. So slap on your pads and grab your helmet. Shit's about to get real.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Let's Talk Fantasy Football. I'm your host tonight. My name is Nick Walsh, and I am here on a new recording platform, so I hope it's okay. I hope it's not fucked up. I hope you can hear me just fine, and I'm not doing anything stupid or bad or that is bursting your eardrums. But more importantly, I'm here with my good pal, Vinny Gonzalez. Vinny, what's going on, dude?
Not much, man. Good to be back. Football is on, which is sweet as shit. It was really good to see. I love the Hall of Fame game because that just starts it all off for us.
Oh yeah, 100%. It's really a great thing to see. It's pretty wonderful. So hopefully this is an enjoyable start to the football season. I know we started it off on the Falcon side with Matt Schaub out there. How do you get any better? The answer is that you don't. So that's wonderful stuff. Other than that, dude, I don't know too much else that we have to get into, but we're going to talk about the AFC West tonight, or sorry, NFC West. Pretty fun division. I don't know. What are your thoughts on this division as a whole going into this year?
I'm excited. I think I'm really into this just because I think the Seahawks and the Rams pretty much stay the same and are still good and have and pretty much pose the same value as they did last year. And then you have upstarts like the Cardinals and 49ers. So it's cool that we get to see Kyler Murray come into the fold. Probably won't be a great team, but will be great for fantasy, I think, and we can discuss that, obviously. And then we get Jimmy Garoppolo back, hopefully for an entire year to see what the 49ers can actually do.
Yeah, I think they're going to be a real fun division. I told one of my buddies was in Vegas a couple weeks ago, and I was able to get some money down on the 49ers at 40-1. But we'll talk about that when we get there. Oh. I was pretty pumped on that.
Okay,
to win the Super Bowl, baby, let's go!
Ridiculous.
Whatever, man. We'll see how it goes. I guess let's jump right in, unless we have other things to say. We'll start this. We'll for part one here tonight. We've got Arizona and Los Angeles. That's the Rams. I still call them St. Louis from time to time. And then part two, the next podcast, we will have the Niners and the Seahawks. If you haven't listened to some of the past ones, I have no idea what the order is anymore. I don't know where anything comes out, but I'm sure there are other division previews out there for you guys to listen to. Vinny, let's get started with the Arizona Cardinals. Obviously the big news in the offseason was Cliff Kingsbury coming in as the head coach. Cliff Kingsbury was formerly the coach at Texas A&M for a while. He was an offensive coordinator in college, a guy who's a really bright offensive mind, but never really seemed to get it as a college coach. We're hoping the jump to the NFL sort of changes that. He was bad at like the recruiting part, but not really the offensive scheming part. And then of course the famous quote from Kingsbury when he was still in college was that if he had the first pick in the draft, he would take Kyler Murray. He did have the first pick in the draft. He took Kyler Murray. So Vinny, what are your thoughts on this team as a whole going from Mike McCoy and Byron Leftwich's awful offense to Kingsbury's offense now?
It's going to be a wild transition. It's basically going to go from one of the slowest teams from snap to probably one of the fastest teams in the NFL with the, you know, famous air raid that everyone keeps throwing around this offseason. So we shall see how that goes. I mean, at worst, it's going to be good for fantasy. I don't necessarily think they're going to be a good football team, but they will have opportunities just because they're going to be out there so much regardless of how bad the team is. The only one problem I really see with them is they still have a bad offensive line. Other than that, they're a pretty talented team, like on offense and defense. So I am excited to see what they can do. Tough-ass division, but I really think that there is some fantasy goodness to be had here.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. I'm very excited for this team. I don't want to get too excited because, like you said, there are concerns like the offensive line. I think there are concerns for Kingsbury's offense just because it's so different from what most teams are, you know, or most NFL players are used to doing. They're going to run a lot of four wide. They're going to go off tempo, these sorts of things. So it'll be interesting to see how that all reconciles itself. But let's start with Kyler, who is going the eighth pick in the eighth round. That's currently quarterback 9. I mean, that's ahead of every other quarterback in this division. Do you think that's fair, or is he starting to get a little bit rich for your blood?
He was already rich, I think, for me, just because it's going to be such an up and down roller coaster that I think people are just kind of, he's going in between Wentz and Breeze. I find that like really insane. I wouldn't be surprised if he's up in like the sixth round by the time drafts happen too, just because everyone's just getting so excited. And he's going to make some preseason plays, you know he is. So he's bound to increase his ADP over time for sure. He's definitely too rich for me just because of the it's going to be very volatile, and I don't really want to have to deal with that week to week. As we've talked about with like guys like Lamar Jackson and stuff like that, the rushing is definitely going to be the thing that, you know, bolsters him up there. But I don't know if a top 10 finish is necessarily in the cards for him with the offensive line that they have.
See, I'm pretty fucking on him. I think he's going to keep rising is the issue. Like, I think I would buy him at quarterback 9. I think that's fine. You know, just with the amount of plays that they want to run and with the fact that he's going to have to use his feet a lot, like as we alluded to, that offensive line sucks. Like, Kingsbury's offense is designed basically to get the ball out or to get him moving. So I think both of those things are good. He's going to have a lot of short completions, you know, quick dropbacks. And when he's not doing that, he's going to be scrambling around sort of looking for things back there. So we'll see sort of how that goes. But I'm pretty in on Kyler, I think. I do, Shrek and I said it on the very first podcast of the summer, I do think it's, there's going to be like some sort of like 60-yard touchdown that happens in a preseason game. And he's going to jump up to like the sixth round and that's where I'm going to be out. But right now I think I'd take him there. I think he's, you know, got that much potential, to really be a great quarterback this year, or at least a great fantasy asset, maybe not quarterback.
Yeah. My only problem is that like he's just as likely to have a 5-point game as he is to have like a 30-point game. So I think it's going to be tough to sort of expect when he's going to go off like that, because he's really, you can probably start him against like in any matchup if it's good or bad, just because he can get stuff done with his legs, move outside the pocket and make plays, which I think is just going to be difficult to monitor when we're trying to predict what the hell is going to happen week to week.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be difficult to monitor, but I'm hoping the high tempo of their offense sort of like I think a high tempo offense and running a lot of plays each week kind of gives you a built-in floor a little bit. I think the thing that could get in the way of that is, you know, if you suck, it doesn't matter if you're high tempo. If you're going three and out every time, it doesn't matter that it only took you a minute off the play clock to go three and out, you know? So we'll sort of see how all that works out. But I definitely understand your concern there. And I think it is concerning that with other, like with guys like Baker, or like Mahomes or whatever, like from last year, like the price wasn't built in. Like those were guys still going like QB 13, you know, or like later. Kyler's already in the top 10 without even seeing a single down. So you're not really even getting that rookie discount on him, which is a bit worrying.
Yeah. I think that's my problem too. Like I'm not letting myself like him because I know I'm not going to own a lot of him. I'm not going to have an opportunity to own a lot of him because of just how I deal with my draft and stuff like that. So I could just be bitter at myself and how I feel about that.
That's definitely fair. Let's move on to the pass catchers here. At wide receiver, we obviously have Larry Fitzgerald and then Christian Kirk. And they're going to likely be the top two, but they're going to be running a lot of wide receiver sets or more wide receiver sets, I guess. Wide receiver sets with more receivers. That's the phrasing I'm looking for. God, fucking stupid moron. Outside of those two, I think the guys on the field are going to be some sort of combination of Hakeem Butler, Andy Isabella, and the sixth round rookie Keyshawn Johnson. Not that Keyshawn Johnson.
Hilarious.
Yeah, great. Fucking love it. they also have Chad Williams and Kevin White on the roster. I wouldn't be surprised if both of them get cut. But that being said, Kirk is going the second pick in the seventh round. That's wide receiver 32. Fitzgerald is going the 12th pick in the seventh round. That's wide receiver 34. And then Isabella is going the sixth pick in the 14th round. That's wide receiver 63. So let's start with Fitzgerald and Kirk. Do you like those prices for them? Do you think they're going to see enough volume to make that work?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely like Kirk more just because he's younger, showed a lot of flashes of potential on like one of the worst teams in the NFL last year. So you got to love that when you have someone like Kyler Murray coming in instead of Rosen, who's getting, you know, he doesn't have the same mobility that Murray has. So it's going to be, it's a better situation, I think, for everybody. So I like what Kirk could potentially do. I kind of view him as like someone like Chris Godwin, who can just like, sort of in that same vein where the breakout is it's likely, but people are also very keen on that. So he could go a lot earlier than his ADP is showing right now, especially when they make a certain play in like preseason or anything like that. But the upside is certainly there for him. And I think Fitzgerald is a value again. I sort of like if you built out your draft and you went wide receiver early and you have like those studs, I feel like you can sort of backload it with like Larry Fitzgerald, who's going to be pretty solid, I think, once again. And I think he'll have more touchdown upside than he did last year, since the offense should be a lot better.
Yeah, I mean, with Fitzgerald, it's possible that he just falls off a cliff, but I think it's more likely that he actually kind of has a comeback season here. I mean, they were the worst passing offense in the league last year. Like, that's, you know, he's going to be better than last year. He's going to be more productive than last year. So I think that's pretty much a given. Christian Kirk, I think, really has a chance to break out a lot. He showed flashes of it last year. And again, that was in the worst passing offense in the league. So if they're able to do things a little bit more, and like I said, this offense is about getting the ball out quickly, getting the ball in the hands of playmakers. And that's exactly what Kirk is. So to me, Kirk seems like a real good look, at that area. Fitz, I'm not against either. I would definitely be taking Fitz before Kirk. I think these rookies are very interesting as well, because you've got Isabella, who was the second round pick. He's a small white dude who is very fast and shifty. Obviously going to get all the Wes Welker, Julian Edelman comparisons, even if they apply or not. You've got Hakeem Butler, who is, he was their fourth round pick, and he's 6'5" and has a huge catch radius, can do some really impressive stuff athletically. And then you've got the sixth round pick, Keyshawn Johnson, who has supposedly just been the star of camp so far, just been making plays all over the field. And some beat writers are speculating that he might end up, you know, pushing to be on the field. So, you know, of these guys, you think at least one of them is hung out to dry, and you know, possibly two, depending on how much four wide receiver stuff they really do run and how much they split Ricky Seals-Jones out as a wide receiver, which we'll get to. But of these guys, do you have any preference? I mean, Isabella's being drafted. Do you have any preference, or is it sort of just like, we'll see what happens?
That's one I'm definitely going to let play out like throughout the season. Like, you don't have to draft these guys. You can pick them up week one, week two. And certainly you'll get more of a feeling for what the hell is going on in preseason. See what they're doing. See if Keyshawn Johnson really is going to be running with the ones out there in three wide receiver sets, anything like that. Just make sure you pay attention to that in the preseason before you make an investment. I know it's like a late whatever flyer pick, but you just got to make sure it's like the right thing to do at that point.
Yeah, and this is a team that probably will be running more – running their first team out a little bit more than your average team in the preseason, just because they need the practice. You know, you need to get Kyler out there to see what he can do. You need to get these receivers out there to see which one of them or which ones of them perform in the preseason. So I think we'll have ample opportunity to form some opinions, even though we don't really have opinions now. Moving to those tight ends, I mentioned Ricky Seals-Jones. None of them are getting drafted. Charles Clay and Max Williams are also on the team. I don't think you need to worry about them. I think Seals-Jones is a guy who might be, you know, a frequent add and drop off the waiver wire based on matchups and buys and whatever else. But I don't think he's a guy you need to draft right now.
Yeah, well said. I think I'm in the same boat with you.
All right, so let's go to running back. David Johnson, sixth pick in the first round. That's running back 5. Chase Edmonds is also getting drafted late, and then you have TJ Logan there. Are you as in on David Johnson as I am? Because I am all the way the fuck in.
Yeah, I'm getting very excited because all we hear is like they're going to pass more, they're going to see the field more, they're going to run out of shotgun more. David Johnson's best year in 2016 was definitely all those things. He saw the most targets he's ever seen with 120, and that's totally possible in this up-tempo offense. And I think he's definitely a guy who's shown his ability as a receiver. He's a solid running back. Like, we just haven't seen it in a little bit since he's had, you know, a few down years, but he's just missed some time. And like I just alluded to last year as a down year, but he finished wide running back 10 on like the worst team in football. So his floor seems to be, his floor seems to be RB10, and he can only go higher than that.
Yeah. I mean, if he can be RB10, PPR RB10 on a team where they were basically just running him into the back of the worst offensive line in the NFL like the entire year, as opposed to getting him out in space, which is what he's been good at since college. I don't even know like what they can do with a creative offense with him. Like there's a chance this guy is, you know, 1,000 yards rushing, 1,000 yards receiving. Like at this point with Zeke and Gordon holding out, I think he's my RB4, you know, maybe even moving up to RB3, depending on how things go. I have no problem taking him as high as you want to take him. I'm all the way in on him.
Yeah, I think until Zeke gets sorted out, I definitely bump him up to 4, bump Zeke down, like sort of out of the conversation until that gets sorted, much like the Melvin Gordon situation. So, David Johnson at 5, like if you're sitting at 5 or 6 and you get David Johnson, like that's insane.
Oh,
that's
yeah, great. You have to be pumped on it. And then I think it's weird too that Edmonds is going so late because he's a guy they've talked up as liking. And I think there's enough room for him to at least be drafted. You know, if there's an injury, all of a sudden he's the starting running back on what should be possibly the fastest paced team in the NFL. So that alone is worth playing, worth owning, over some other guys who are maybe getting drafted in that area to me.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Do you got anything else on the Cardinals?
No, I hope they're exciting. I'm a little nervous.
Yeah, I'm definitely nervous. I'm very excited. You know, I think they have a ton of potential and I'm trying to like temper those expectations, but I think if they hit their potential, they'll be one of the most fun teams to watch in the NFL this year.
Is it also tough for you because you were so on the Cardinals last year that it's hard to be on them again, like back to back?
No. It honestly makes me more on them because I was on them for like I was on David Johnson last year as like, right. Oh yeah, this guy's like going to be back in a big way. And like they fucked it up, like I said, by giving him the ball in halfback dives like fucking 19 times a game instead of getting him out in space. So if they're able to get him out in space, which I think they can do in this offense, why wouldn't I be back on David Johnson?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Let's take a quick break and then we'll be back with the Rams.
You're listening to Let's Talk Fantasy Football. Home of the brutally honest fantasy advice you've always needed.
All right, we are back with the Los Angeles Rams. Vinny, they made the Super Bowl. They played an extremely boring Super Bowl.
I like the Super Bowl.
I mean, I fell asleep during the Super Bowl. I had also flown back.
You've actually done that more times than like the average person.
Yeah, but so most of the time I do it because I get too drunk too early in the day and then I wake up and rewatch the entire thing before looking at the score because I blacked out in like the second quarter. This one was I had just been at the Waste Management Open, the golf tournament in Phoenix, and come off a bender of a weekend, and the game just did not hold my attention enough to get me through it. So
I could see that. That's actually, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I was snoozing through a lot of it. But I guess the point that I'm trying to make here is the Rams offense really grinded to a halt towards the end of the year. And, you know, just way more CJ Anderson than I think anyone could have anticipated. He is now no longer with the team. So I don't think we need to worry about that. But we do need to think about the Rams here in terms of fantasy sense. Obviously, no real changes in the coaching staff outside of replacing some of the hires that went elsewhere, like Zach Taylor. Gotta love Zach Taylor. But let's start with Jared Goff. Jared Goff is currently quarterback 12. That is 7th pick in the 9th round. I have like very little problem with taking Jared Goff there, and I have very little reason to take him much higher. Does that make sense?
No, that's pretty much how I feel too. Like, he finished QB7 last year with 32 touchdowns, 12 picks. They're in a great offense. Not much has changed, man. So it's, I mean, I guess the girly stuff, but that's, we can talk about that next. But really, they're still like a very prolific offense. Goff showed a lot of, like, he grew completely into it. He's a leader now on that team, and he was great. And finishing QB7 in fantasy correlates to all that. So reap the benefits of that. I think it's a low risk. I don't want to say low reward, but it's definitely a safer pick than some of the quarterbacks going late.
Yeah. I'll say. Yeah, that. I mean, they were the number two offense in the league last year, and he finished as QB7. So you got to figure that's like about his ceiling. Maybe not entirely his ceiling, but I think that's closer to his ceiling than his floor. I also think his floor is probably like QB14, you know? So right. I think you're getting a little bit of value for him at like QB12. They also brought in Blake Bortles as the backup. Just keep that in mind.
Watch out. Yeah,
watch out. Goff goes down week 1. We're Blaking all over the place.
I'm selling all shares at that point.
Yeah, seriously. You imagine like you draft like fucking Gurley and then maybe like Cup 3 rounds later, and then Blake Bortles is your quarterback week 2. Oh my God.
Kill me now.
But anyway, let's move to the pass catchers. We just mentioned Cooper Kupp, but obviously they have this incredible wide receiver trio of Brandon Cooks, Robert Woods, and Cooper Kupp in the slot. Cooks is currently wide receiver 16, fourth pick in the fourth round. Woods is wide receiver 17, seventh pick in the fourth round. And Kupp is wide receiver 22, second pick in the fifth round. There's a reason they're all so close together. It's because the ball is spread around a lot in this offense. You're going to see a different guy as wide receiver 1 on the team almost like every week. That being said, they all produce at least a wide receiver 2 level, it seems like, every week. Do you have any problems with these draft positions? Because I have absolutely none besides maybe putting Woods over Cooks.
I think they're perfect where they are. I also would be that guy taking them around earlier just to make sure I get them during real drafts, because you just want to, like, just because the ADP is sitting there doesn't mean someone's going to not reach on them. And I think where they're going is undervalued, but it's a perfect value as of right now where they're going, because it's ridiculous. They're in like one of the best offenses. Just because you don't know which one to pick, I think, is why their ADPs are kind of sifting together like this. As far as the Woods over Cooks thing, I'm still liking Cooks a little more just because I think he's due for more touchdowns this year. Obviously, I based that off just sort of a feeling, but he also did, I guess I have a stat on that. He got tackled inside the 10, I think 6 times while running routes. So he can break a tackle, make a move, do something different, and he's, you know, double-digit touchdown guy right there. So, and Cooks is obviously the more explosive guy. Like, think about the ceilings that you can have with each of these guys, like Cooks, Woods, Cup. I feel like their ceilings are pretty much in that order.
I think the ceiling for any of those guys at any given week is 110 yards, 2 touchdowns. I mean, Cup had like 1 or 2, 3 touchdown games last year, but like these.
Well, the thing with Cup is he's coming back from, you know, the ACL surgery, so I'm not like super into taking him. I understand the appeal. He should be ready for week 1. I just think it's going to take a little bit for him to get going.
He's going behind Calvin Ridley, which is like egregious to me. But other than that, yeah, I'm right there with you. I mean, I think it's really hard to make an argument that these guys are being drafted in bad positions. You can nitpick between, you know, which guy is going to have a better season and which guy should go ahead of which, but I think overall the market is pretty accurate on these guys. You know, the only other guy I think you really need to think about here is Josh Reynolds, who if one of the receivers goes down, you know, Reynolds will likely fill in. I know last year when Kupp went down, they kicked Woods into the slot more and Reynolds played on the outside. You know, if that were to happen, he's obviously a guy to own at that point. At tight end, we've got, I think the cat just ran into my door. The door of my room. The cat was like really trying to get in my room before I had to like really get her out of here.
What do you got in there,
man? What's up?
What do you got in there? What is she?
I don't know. I got a big mess in my room. I'm cleaning everything out and reorganizing. Anyway, at tight end, we have Tyler Higbee and Gerald Everett. I think if you want to own either one of these guys, it's Everett, but you don't really need to. He's probably a guy who, like Ricky Seals-Jones, will kind of come on and off the waiver wire as the season progresses.
Yeah. Like if you think they're going to be in a shootout and you're really hurting a tight end, like a lot of injuries or something like that, you can definitely do that. Like during the Chiefs game last year, Rams Chiefs, these guys were looked at by us, and we also called Reynolds that game too. So any kind of shootout, you want to look towards those other guys who might see more of an increased volume and their desperation plays, but they could pay off. So I see like this offense is just so valuable that you could make plays like Josh Reynolds or either of the tight ends.
Yeah, 100%. Let's move to the running backs. We alluded to Gurley and his situation before. So for those of you who aren't familiar, you know, Gurley has these knee issues. It's kind of been inconclusive as to what exactly the root cause of it is, how severe it is, for pretty much the entire time that he's been dealing with it. We know enough that it made CJ Anderson a feature back in 2018 last year. And I guess in the 2019 playoffs too. At this point, the Rams say they have a plan for Gurley. They say everything is cool. That being said, they signed Malcolm Brown, his backup last year, and they traded up to draft Darrell Henderson. So those actions speak a little bit differently than what they're saying. That being said, Gurley is still going running back 8, third pick in the second round. You've got Henderson, who profiles to be sort of a change of pace back. People have compared him to Chris Thompson in some ways. He's currently going running back 33, the fifth pick in the seventh round. And then you've got Malcolm Brown going at the end of the 14th round. Shrek and I talked about it for a long time on our very first podcast of the year. What do you think about Gurley at this price?
At the price, it's almost too much just because there's so much talent still around there. I think in drafts, he's still going to slide depending on what happens in the preseason. But I'm like in this weird position where I'm tempted to take him, and I'm also just like telling myself not to do it because it's just not worth it. But it's fucking Todd Gurley, and it's hard not to. It's like this weird give and take that you don't want to give in to taking him, and you just also you wouldn't feel bad if you passed on him. It's this weird situation. But I think I also told Shrek on a podcast, like at worst, I think, you know, Gurley's still getting like somewhere between 13 to 15 touches a game. That's still really good because it's still Todd Gurley. So I still think he's going to be like a workhorse back. It's just not going to be workhorse like he was last year. And then if you look at the roster last year, there really wasn't anyone that you could spell him with. They had a couple of guys, but they were just guys. Like Malcolm Brown is still there. That was a good re-sign by them, but obviously I think the trading up to get Henderson too is, I think, a little overblown. I think they just needed more depth in case something does happen to Todd Gurley. I still think he's their main focus in the run game, but the way they lied about everything, like in the playoffs or, you know, in the Super Bowl saying he was fine and he sees no carry sitting on the bench. There was a lot of stuff at the end of the season that was a little sketchy on their part. So anything to say in the off season, I can't trust. So that's why I think he's fallen, you know, this far in draft. So it's just so tough to gauge the situation. I think wherever you get Todd Gurley, I think it is a value. It's just so.
Yeah. I know earlier in the off season, I was very much on like the, I don't know if I can risk Todd Gurley there, but from what they're saying, like they're going to,
it seems
they're going to get him down to like 60% of the work or that kind of thing. And like, I think about it, like we're okay with drafting Alvin Kamara as the third running back off the board. Alvin Kamara doesn't get the full workload. He gets 15 to 18 touches a game. If like, what's the difference between Alvin Kamara and Todd Gurley getting 15 to 18 touches a game? I don't think it's much. You know, like it's so if you can project Gurley for 15 to 18 touches, which I think you kind of can at this point, then why are we putting this far of a discount on Gurley and when Kamara is going the third overall pick?
It's just like, how would you feel comfortable? Like if I go wide receiver in the first round and then Todd Gurley comes swinging back, I would be nervous as shit. But if somehow I get, you know, if I draft earlier and Gurley falls to me in the back end, like if you have one of the top four or five guys and he comes back to you, I'd feel a lot
That's
safer.
Fair. I think the biggest question is, can we trust Gurley to stay at this abbreviated workload all year? Or do we think the injury risk is more, you know, like I said, if he's going to get 15 touches a game, I'm totally cool drafting him where he is, but I don't really know what the deal is with his knee since they haven't told us what the deal is with his knee. So if the injury risk is greater than that, that becomes like a totally different animal, I guess. I don't know. I'm having a lot of trouble like pointing exactly where I want to draft him. I think it's probably closer to like Damian Williams, Nick Chubb than it is to James Conner, Joe Mixon area, but I'm not opposed to taking him really where he is.
Yeah, I also think a lot of the holdout stuff is going to affect where he goes, because I think a lot of people will be more willing to take a shot on Todd Gurley. The reason he's so backed up still is because they still have like Melvin Gordon sort of in the same area, and then Zeke is still at the top. Obviously, I think Zeke gets his deal, but Melvin Gordon I'm really not too sure about, so we still need to see how that falls too, because a lot of that's going to affect where people are willing to take
him. Absolutely. Let's talk about Darrell Henderson a little bit. I know a lot of people think he's really good. I think this placement for him is a little ridiculous, if that makes sense. He's going before Austin Eckler and Latavius Murray. Why?
I don't know. I feel like this happens every year. People just get fixated on a rookie running back that's not in a good situation and just hype him up to shit. It's like, just kind of sit back and relax. I know... like Todd Gurley's not on IR. Like this guy's not going to get a full workload. If anything, he's splitting carries at like best. So I don't think that this is a good pick. I don't think it's a good investment. And I think you just shouldn't.
Yeah, not at that price. I mean, he's going half a round ahead of Miles Sanders, who all Miles Sanders has to do to be a feature back on a team is beat out Jordan Howard. Like it's, I don't know. Like going ahead of Royce Freeman, you know, just there's a lot of guys there that I don't quite get it. I know people are hyping him up, and the Gurley health issue is real, but you know, Malcolm Brown is there too. Malcolm Brown wasn't terrible when they gave him work last year.
I didn't want to sound like an idiot, but I was going to say he's the much better pick out of like, if you're looking for a backup, he's been there. He knows the system. He's not a rookie. He's already backed up Todd Gurley. I think if you're going to be playing this game, just wait till you have your throw it away nothing.
Take Malcolm Brown in the 14th over Darrell Henderson in the 7th, like all fucking day. You can get quality players in the 7th. Yeah, man, right. The cat is really going nuts at my door. I don't know what the hell the cat's doing.
She's trying to tell
she
us
heard
about
Malcolm
Tucker
Brown and she's like, I love Malcolm Brown. All right. I think that just about does it for the Rams. Do you have anything else on them?
No, not really. I think they're going to be great and probably have a shot to go to the Super
Bowl. Yeah, they're going to be really good. This division in general is like really fucking good. I'm pretty excited for it. We will be back with part two. That'll be the Niners and the Seahawks, so make sure you check that out. But this has been part one. I hope the recording turned out okay. If you're hearing this, then we didn't have to re-record it for any sort of reason. If not, then it'll just go into the annals of history as, you know, one of the lost treasures. But anyway, for Vinny, I am Walsh. This has been Let's Talk Fantasy Football. Later, podcast.
This has been Let's Talk Fantasy Football. Thanks for listening.